For those who prefer their cars rocket-powered, flying in high with no boost but holding on to the dream, it's Knox Phoenix and Savage coming to you live from Manfield.
Crazy, crazy news in the week, as of course you may have heard. Juno, the probe that NASA sent to Jupiter, is going to be arriving tonight.
You mean like the movie, Juno?
Yes. They sent...
Like with the girl? They sent the movie to...
They didn't send a Blu-ray because Jupiter? Back when they purchased the movie, they purchased it on HD DVD, so that's kind of awkward. But they attached that to a satellite... Ironically, also named Juno, and sent that to Jupiter.
I mean, at least most Blu-ray players are, like, backwards compatible, right? So,
yeah,
when they're listening to it, they can, or they're not going to listen. I mean, they could just listen to it. Maybe they just only have a CD player. Oh my God, what if they only have a CD player?
Jupiter.
What if they only have a record player?
I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. But of course...
You know how different we could be in, like, technology? They could be so far behind us. Or they could be so far ahead of us that all they have is VHS players. Because, you know, all the CDs and DVDs just broke.
You keep saying they, assuming that there's alien life on Jupiter.
Oh, there is. That's why we're sending them Juno. It's the greatest movie of our generation.
So, Juno the satellite, not the HD DVD.
Who cares about the satellite? We're sending them a DVD.
God. What is actually the fastest object ever made by human hands, other than Knox's human hands. you know, because I play Rocket League so fast. Like, what's up? And
what team do you play for?
It has 9 scientific instruments to read things like the gravitational and magnetical field of Jupiter, along with some other things. What do you expect that we're going to find on Jupiter?
Oh, I think we're going to find a lot of angry aliens that cannot play our DVD.
Okay. What do you think the alien Jupiter Rocket League scene is like right now? Because, you know, obviously we don't have cross-platform servers for that yet.
Yeah, so they're a little bit behind because, you know, they don't have people to play against, like, Kronobi or Mikey.
Right. Do you think they have an advantage with the 8 fingered limbs?
Yeah, I think it has it's slight, but the fact that they can press every single button on the controller at once with extreme delicacy, I think it's a little bit of an advantage. And you never really know, like, how they process time. Like, we think of things such as, like, how long an hour takes and then, like, days and weeks. And we know, like, okay, this is how we, like, perceive time. But, like, how does a fruit fly?
I don't know. Are there a lot of fruit flies on Jupiter?
Well, like, what if aliens on Jupiter only live to be like 5 days old?
Oh, that's a good point.
But in those 5 days, they can play 10 billion games of Rocket League.
Well, okay.
So, like, they wouldn't really compete with us because they mostly die off, and like the time the games take could be completely different. But we don't know how they're perceiving it. Maybe their computers are super, super fast. And everything is changing.
Their computers are super fast, but they don't have anything that can play the HD DVD of Juno. Special edition with bonus scenes.
Well, we sent them a regular DVD. They don't have any DVD players in their computers. My laptop doesn't have a DVD player. There's no DVD insert slot. We should have sent them a thumbstick with it on. God. We made so many mistakes.
NASA, what are you thinking? The Jupiterians are not going to be able to watch Juno.
I just want to know who decided to send them Juno on a gosh darn DVD. Like, what are you doing? Obviously, there was a better way to go about this.
I just got this funny picture of, like, 8-fingered Jupiterians, like, opening up a box and, like, looking at the DVD really confused and then, like, trying to eat it.
And now they're just furious because they have a whole bunch of VHS players sitting around. And then they try to put the DVD in the VHS player and then it, like, just breaks the DVD. And that was their only connection to human life.
Yeah, now they're going to
They were going to be our best friends if we set them that now on VHS. They're probably going to
come across the Rocket League land.
We're screwed.
Yep. We're screwed.
We're going to die. Somebody, Cloud Fuel, protect our players. The aliens are coming.
Daddy Rocket League, help us.
Daddy, shouldn't... I feel like if Cloud Fuel is Daddy Rocket League, what is Durkant? Is he like Grandfather Rocket League?
He's like Uncle Rocket League, because like he fixes all the problems, right?
But he just like...
Like Daddy Rocket League takes care of us?
Yeah, when he shows up, everybody's happy, but he's not always there. Right. Like he's always there, but he's always like kind of off in the corner or something. So he's just kind of... He's hiding behind Daddy Rocket League. Mm-hmm. And if things really go south, then there's not too many people that know who he is. So he could like just kind of scoot off. But he could also like come in and save the day and everybody like, yay, Uncle Durkey.
Uncle Durkey.
Uncle Durkey. He likes to cook some turkey.
Well, if you couldn't tell... This is this is live from Manfield, a Rocket League podcast where we jump on Rocket League news, boost you straight to Rocketeer, all the while scoring mine and Savage's amazing voices into your ear goals. I am Nox Phoenix.
And I am the son of Rocket League. The reborn son. Savage.
Exciting episode planned for you guys this week as we take a look at a new Rocket League patch. The group stage is wrapping up. We have an awesome interview from someone from another podcast. What?
Our first other interviewee from another podcast, by the way. This is a momentous occasion.
That's true. And just all-around good time. That's really the plan for this episode, just an all-around good time.
Yep.
We don't even, you know, actually, I'm going to go ahead and throw the outline away, and we're just going to have a good time this episode.
Okay. What do you want to talk about? We should do that, you know? We should just have an hour-long discussion and release it to our patrons. That's just what we should do.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And nobody's going to know where it's going to go. We'll start on one topic and just see where it goes.
Well, the first thing that I want to talk about, and I don't know, I mean, this could be the first thing on our outline. I wouldn't know. We threw the outline away. I don't know, the patch that came out?
Yeah, there is... Okay, so last week we threw a huge fit because they released... patch 1.19 a couple days after our episode came out.
Right.
Which was our episode 19. So it was like, darn, we missed a huge opportunity. Psyonix, please. You could have really synced up.
Someone pointed out on Twitter that we recorded 2 days early for that, and they actually did release the 19th patch on our 19th episode. And then we recorded episode 20 complaining why wasn't it patch 20? And then that like week they released patch 120.
That Tuesday, the Tuesday that our episode released, they released this new patch, this patch 1.20, the same day that our episode 20 came out.
Which means that we can look for
with all this stuff. Which means that Psyonix and Live from Manfield are now one.
We are one. We have become one through osmosis.
We have synced.
I'd like to get maybe some of the pay that they get at Psyonix.
Yeah, I mean. I feel like when people buy Rocket League now, from now on, or like all the new cars that people buy, all the money that comes in from those DLCs, I feel like that should go to us.
All of it. Because we are one.
We are one.
Actually, like us and Rocket League are like one, so it's kind of like a weird thing, because like when you purchase Rocket League, you're kind of just like purchasing us. So if you own a copy of Rocket League, you kind of own a small percentage of like Nox and Savage.
Yeah.
Stock options.
You own me.
Invest. Diversify your portfolio.
It's an interesting stock. It's a stock that's not really.
I want you to put that on your portfolio when you like go in for like, you know, talk to your broker and like, hey, you know, I'd like to set up some investments, some Roth IRA mutual fund things. Here's a look at my profile right now. You can see that I've got 200 shares of Apple. And I have, 50 shares of Google. Oh, and what's this down here? Down here at the bottom? That is 0.01% of a share of Nox, Phoenix, and Savage. Yes, that's very valuable.
No, I don't own the stock of that. That's saying that I belong to Psyonix.
They're not Psyonix. Rocket League.
Oh, Rocket League. Yeah, when people purchase Rocket League, they purchase us. But I am part of, okay. Yeah, understandable. Yeah. People own me. 75% of my body is for sale.
Well, if we're a part of Rocket League, then we got patched this week, and some of the things that they fixed for us were a couple audio issues. Which you definitely noticed that your countdowns may have gone away if you turned down all of the miscellaneous sounds or ambient sounds, as it's called. Sorry, my bad. In your like audio settings, that's the first thing I noticed because I have my ambient sounds turned all the way down. Well, that's fixed now. Ambient sounds are back into the normal volume of the game, and the countdown can be heard, which is good. Obviously, they took Underpass out of the game. And then they didn't realize that if you tried to watch a replay that you had that was on Underpass, that the game would crash. So they fixed that.
it was a slight problem, but it's fixed. They fixed it. They were there for us.
And then I didn't see a ton of weird bounces on Neo Tokyo. Maybe one or two here there before the patch. But now they should all be taken care of because they worked on some of the physics. So not a huge patch, but some stuff.
It was really just like a touch-up patch. But I know with audio issues, there was a little bit of issues. Some people were still running into them.
Oh, really?
And with Neo Tokyo, I think there's still going to be some weird bounces, but from where it was, it's way, way less. It's down to like what a normal map is at right now.
The audio issue that I really want fixed is one that's been like in the game since launch, and you've probably noticed it. But if someone gets demoed right by you, you can see they're kind of like, there's a one element from the GUI that hangs around the, like, the little, like, boost flare. Not the boost, but the flare stays there, and then you can hear their car engine still in that spot until they respawn.
Huh.
Anyone else get that?
Really? I mean, there's only me here, but no, I didn't.
I'm asking, like, everyone that's here.
Oh, you're talking to the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Part of being Rocket League now is that whenever anyone is playing Rocket League, they can just inherently hear our voices. Yeah, yeah.
We are actually live broadcasted to every single person's Rocket League that's in-game right
now. It's probably why the audio issues are there in the first place. Like, that's why they're having trouble.
We're part of the ambient noise. And that's why people were getting so mad that they had to have that on for the countdown, because they had to listen to us talk for an hour.
We're part of the ambient noise, but we're like placed as if we're like two eggs in the crowd. So like you can't really hear us among like all the cheering and stuff, but like if you listen real closely or take your car real close to like the two specific eggs, then you'll hear our voices.
We're in seats 112 and 113, gate 76.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where you're at. I'm on the other side of the stadium, so like you wouldn't really be able to piece together our conversation because you have to go to one side to like hear your part and then the other side to hear mine.
They're pretty interesting. You kind of need to have two computers running. But once you do that and you go on to, you have to go to Manfield. You only hear us if you're on Manfield.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
So that's why everybody doesn't like freak out or anything. But yeah, if you're on Manfield and you're listening, and you just like go to the opposite sides of the field, you have gate 76 and gate 150,000.
There's a lot of gates in the stadium. There are.
Yeah, there's like five per gate. It's a big stadium, as you know. They're eggs.
Things got a little crazy this week in the group stages, though, didn't they?
Oh my gosh. I tuned in for, let's see, I got to watch two series. No, I only got to watch... I got to watch two series in total. I got to watch one series NA and one EU. I got to watch the Kings of Urban I Buy Power series, which was crazy. Which made me want to cry. And then I also got to watch Supersonic Avengers and... who did they play? They played Mocket EU, which was... That was also a really good series.
Mm. Yep.
But when I first tuned into Cal and IVP, I noticed something a little interesting about the roster for IVP.
Yeah.
Our friend from this show, Over Zero, was actually playing in this series.
Yeah. I saw that.
Lucinio did not play in this Qualifier 2 group stage, like the second week of it.
Right.
Which was... very interesting. Actually, he may have played in the first series of the day, but when they played against Cal, he did not. I don't know. There's no word. I tried to figure out what happened to him. I'm sure it was some kind of personal issues that is not really for us to be talking about in public. Maybe his mom took away his computer.
My mom often takes away my computer.
Yeah. He is only 15. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
There's a lot of young Rocket League players out there. All their tiny little nimble hands.
I wish I was young again.
Oh, to be young and in love with Rocket League. But that series was pretty crazy. It ended up... I wish I could pull up the series. There it was. iBetPower Cosmic lost that series 3-2.
3-2.
Which, if you look at their record... Oh, no, they didn't. That was from... Yeah, they did. 3-2. And if you look at the records for them, KOU and IBP both finished up 19 and 16 in the group stages.
Yeah, it was a four-way tie for that.
It was a four-way tie. Genesis, Cal, IBP, and Mocket NA all finished at 19 and 16.
So how did they determine that Genesis and Kings of Urban would be placed higher? Was it goal differential?
From what I saw, I thought it was series wins.
Series wins? That makes sense.
Cal beat IBP, so they got placed over them. And Genesis, I believe, beat Mocket. Yeah, Genesis went 4-1 over Mocket NA. Which, wow, if Mocket had just taken that series 3-2, they could have found themselves in there.
Yeah.
Placing higher. But, like, this is, looking at this versus the EU from the first group stages, everything is just completely flipped.
Yeah, things are different, man. It's weird to see iBuyPower on the bottom half of a standings board. I've never seen that. It kind of weirds me out.
Yeah, they are not going to the online finals.
That's insane.
We have the first team, the top team, Lucky Bounce, did not even make it to the first group stages. They went 22 and 13. They finished at the very top with the best record in all of NA.
Right.
Then we had Exodus, who was 21 and 14. And then we had all of our 19 and 16s, which moves us with Genesis and KOU moving on. So NA was just, it all came down to the wire. It was super important, every single game that was played. It was crazy to look at.
Absolutely. And then Kronovi tweeted out this weekend that he's like, well, I'm not happy with how we made it to the LAN, just happy that we are going there. And then he said that they had some issues with player performance and team mental health. So I don't know what was going on. I don't know if they were streaming at all during it, but something was getting under their skin, getting in their heads when they were playing.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. But yeah, moving away from NA over to the EU side, where everything was way more exciting in the first group stages, we saw Flipside Tactics on the very top, 28 and 7. Weedem Girls right up there with them, 27 and 8. Just right there, you have two crazy... The records, like, those are the only two teams in all of group stages to only lose single digits.
Yeah.
Like, over on NA side, number one team had lost 13 games. That would have been, they would have finished in the fourth place spot in EU with that record.
Tell you what, man, I've seen some, like interesting performances from Flipside as I've been watching them for the past couple months. But their recent play is just going to make me echo what everyone else is saying, that I think they're going to take it all when it comes LAN time.
God, they just come through. They know when to show up. They know when they need to show up and actually play. And it's just, when they do, it's ridiculous what they can do. They take things for themselves. God, they're incredible. So then moving over, then we had, in third place, there was Mocket EU. And in fourth place, moving on, Supersonic Avengers. A team that did not make it to the first group stages. Didn't even make it out of that round of 64. Not only did they not make it to the online final, they did not make it to the group stages. Hmm. And they're just barely beating out TFD, Flying Dutchman.
Man, I'm looking forward to watching the online finals. I think they're going to be crazy. They're going to be cray-cray.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good series to watch. Good. Like, I hope I can sit down and actually watch the entire thing.
I'm definitely going to watch. I didn't watch any of the matches from these group stages, but I'm definitely going to be watching the online final. I really love the online finals. I might try to throw a party. If you're interested coming over to Cincinnati, I think I'm going to throw an RLCS online final party.
Well, when is the online final?
Is that this next weekend, right?
It is. Boop-a-da-boop. Looking for the second one. I see May 21st and May 22nd. That's a little old. July 9th and July 10th.
Yep, this weekend.
Yeah. I'll be home. That'd be pretty interesting. NA is July 9th. double day party.
If you're crazy. In the Cincinnati area, Saturday, come on over. I'm serious. Like, I'm going to do it. If I can get enough people, I'm going to, like, get a section at, like, B-dubs, and we'll put it up on the big screens B-dubs. So.
Can we do that?
Yes.
You have, like, a Chromecast or something?
Yeah.
Plug in?
Yeah.
That would be, yeah, let's do it. Who's, this send Saturday, us a tweet.
Tweet at us.
Hashtag.
Hit us up on the website. Email us. Let me know if you want to come. Check it out. Watch it with Knox and maybe Savage if he comes over too.
I'll come. I'll drive 3 hours to watch some Rocket League.
There you go.
What times do they start? I don't know.
They start at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I believe.
That's perfect. I'll have to wake up too early. Okay. But moving on from that, awesome stuff. The EU ESL this past week. Some crazy awesome news. You know what team ended up taking that W?
For the whole ESL this past week?
Yep.
No idea.
Savage, with an exclamation mark.
Oh my gosh.
They named their team after me. And that's actually Scrubkilla's new Scrubkilla's team that I don't know if it's who he's playing on with.
It's not.
But for a week, I was a professional team that won 100, 300 bucks or so. So, I'm kind of a big deal now.
You're kind of a big deal now.
People are actually naming teams after me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like one of the most popular people in all of Rocket League.
Yeah.
So, just keep that in mind when you're going that about your day.
All right, that awkward silence right there was just me debating whether or not to sing the Blue's Clues mail song. But we did get an email this week.
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember that song.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail. When it comes, I wanna wail. Mail! I ended up doing it anyway.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I don't remember that. I loved that show when I was
maybe
a kid.
Maybe we can adapt it to like a Rocket League version for whenever we get an email. Like,
yeah.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me wanna fly and sail. When it comes, I score and wail.
Score a goal. Yeah, away mail. Yeah. Okay, it's happening. We'll write a song and the next time anybody sends us an email. So make sure you send us an email at livefrommanfield@gmail.com so we can sing that song.
This email is from Corvo Atano, who says, hi, Knox and Savage. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hope you guys are doing well. I am. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm sitting by a baseball field.
I built a PC about a year ago and have pretty much restricted my gaming to single-player games on that platform until I started playing Rocket League about a month ago. I have really been sinking in the hours over the last 2 weeks, and I've gotten up to Challenger in ones and twos, and I'm currently in between undergrad and grad school. So I've actually working for a residential construction company, cleaning up sites, blah, 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 blah. This honestly equals as good as... Wait, what's going on? Freakonomics. Oh, never mind. He's just congratulating our podcast. He says he has a lot of time to listen to us. Thanks, bud.
Nice. I like listening to us sometimes.
So he spends a lot of time listening to Rocket League podcasts, and he says, as a result, my game IQ is massively ahead of my mechanical skill. For whatever reason, I'm very good at figuring out games and involving spatial relationships. All of this is to say that I rotate, position, and understand beyond the typical player of my rank. My mechanics are unquestionably holding me back. As is evidenced every time I predict a move in twos or threes or by my one's opponent, but fail to make the save. The problem that I'm often making rotations in twos and threes that makes sense, but leave out half invulnerable because of the ball-centric focus on most players at this rank. My options end up being 1, go for it and take the risk of overcommitting myself, or 2, sit in goal and watch a bunch of people flail, albeit only slightly more pathetically than me, admittedly.
It's always fun to sit back and watch people that are a little bit worse than you.
It's true.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with sitting in goal and letting them flop around.
I feel like one solution would be to play with the same people regularly and communicate with them. I spend a lot of mental energy using I got it and defending during gameplay and obviously lose the use of my thumb during those moments. The big problem with this solution is that I have no friends. Aww. I've added a few people that I've played ranked with, but nothing has panned out. I'm wondering if y'all might have any recommendations for making some friends in the Rocket League community. In episode 16, Knox, I think you mentioned that you have a Smurf account to play with some lower-ranked people. Do you think they'd be interested in playing with me? I'm also open to just chatting while playing if y'all ever want to talk. All right, Corvitano.
Corvitano.
This is a two-part email, right? So the first part is, how do you congruently combine you know, mechanical skill that still needs room to grow alongside your awareness and positioning, which has exceeded your mechanical skill. All right. And then part two is exploring the realm of how do you find some good old buddies to just play the game with regularly?
Yeah. Good old buddies. Okay, so first part. Mechanical skills take time, and well, you have to play. Like, there's honestly, that's what it comes down to. You're not gonna, you can understand all you want about the game, which is great. Like, you're at an awesome point in the game to be able to move forward really quickly, but you have to be willing to sit down in free play and just feel out the ball. Feel out, okay, if I hit it this way, it flies up. Or if I flip my car while it's on top of it, I can throw the ball forwards and upwards. And you gotta, like, use that Rocket League trainer. You gotta just go into regular training modes and realize, okay, this is how I fly up and hit the ball. Just go into, like, pro aerial training and focus on actually making contact with the ball. Because if you can make contact with an aerial at your level, like what you said, a month in, that's a good place to be.
It's true. And there's the obvious, you know, like, hey, spend some time practicing. But you're going to do that anyway, right? If you want to get better at the game, you're going to do that anyway. There is another aspect of the mental game other than just positioning and player awareness. And those, first of all, never chalk it up to think that you know all there is to know about that. I've put in about 1,600 hours into this game, and I will be the first to admit to say that I still do not position, rotate, and pass correctly. So
I know nothing about this game, and I've played it for 1,000 hours. Like, but I literally know nothing.
There's this idea of relating your mechanical skill to your awareness, and what I mean by that is, knowing, like, okay, someone should be challenging that ball right now, and then knowing if you have the mechanical skill to be the one challenging that ball is completely different. Because, all right, you see the ball going up, like, all right, that ball should be challenged right now, or else someone can hit that down and into our goal. But if don't go for things that you don't think you can get, all right? Oh, but Nox, how do I know if I can get them if I don't go for them regularly? That's the importance in regularly doing casual matches and regularly doing, like, you know, on an alt account with your friends and stuff that aren't as good as you, because you have safe situations to go for, like, everything that you want to be able to get in the future and practice those kind of things. I recommend casual matches a lot. There, when I'm learning a new mechanic or when I'm focusing on practicing a new mechanic, I go into casual matches and I don't even worry about win-lose or scoring goals or whatever. I just look for as many opportunities to practice that one mechanic and do it over and over again. But all that's to say is you should understand your relation of your mechanical skill to your awareness, because like, position for where you can get the ball as soon as you can get the ball. Don't end up putting yourself in situations where you're going to be trying something that you mechanically can't do, because then you're going to flail and you're going to end up leaving your net open.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, I really enjoy playing with friends in that kind of situation, because then you can just, they know you're messing around, they know you're just trying to do one thing, so if they can, like, try to help you do that, rather than they're thinking, okay, this ball is coming, I could probably get a better hit on it. But
also, don't ever fall into something that I'm going to call football fan syndrome. I've never been to an American football game, I don't think. I may have been.
Come on. Like, not even like a high school game?
Oh, I definitely have been to like a high school game. All right.
Yeah, it's sort of like a college game. College game would be like, okay, then you're a real football watcher.
But at least you know this person that I'm talking about, and you can really easily fall into this when your game knowledge exceeds your mechanical skill. But there's this thing that can happen where if you always see the people in the stands trying to call the plays at a football game, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're like, oh my gosh, you've got to run that there. What are you doing? Or like, oh, he should be passing to that receiver. Like, you know?
He's wide open. Come on, throw him the ball.
You're going to just frustrate yourself a lot if you end up having that mentality. Like, you know, obviously I think you should choose to sit back and go for the plays that you mechanically can make. Let your teammates flail around as all they want. You make sure the goal is safe and that you're putting your guys in the best position to win. But don't frustrate yourself with your teammates' performance at all, or their decision-making, if you understand it to be better. if you understand your decision making to be better than them, because you're just going to frustrate yourself. Don't think like, oh, you can't be going for that. This is something I do all the time. Like, if you watch my stream,
Yeah, all the time. It's hard to watch your stream sometimes because of it.
I need to fix it. I need to work on it. Because all the time I'm seriously going like, oh, he went for that. Why did he go for that?
What an idiot. What a butt muncher.
I would hate Nox, for any of my teammates to come onto my stream.
You use the word butt a lot when you get upset.
Well, actually, that's not when I get upset. I use the word butt as like a fun, joking way. I'll actually say someone's like an idiot or something if I'm really upset. But if like, you know, like, oh, why'd you do that, you butt? I'll call you a butt all the time.
Yeah, I do a lot of stupid stuff. But like, I wouldn't take Rocket League advice from me.
A butt is much different than an idiot.
Okay. But idiots can have butts. Okay, where were we?
All that about friends though now. Like, how do you find friends to play with? How do you find buddies? How did we meet?
Well, we met off of Reddit, which is a really good source. RL Friends, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe Rocket League Friends.
There's like Rocket League Friends.
If you go to the Rocket League subreddit in the sidebar, you can see Rocket League Friends or something and it'll show up. That's where I found a lot of people, and I got connected into a group, Ghost Boosters, through that. If you want to join that Discord, we'll throw it on the website for you to look at and get onto there, because there's a lot of people on there. Right now there's 80 people online, 80 people just online at the moment. That you could probably find someone on there to play with. Most of them are pretty nice people. But Rocket League Friends is really good for all the like people that just got the game or something. Because at this point, like, I don't know, a lot of people on that Ghostbusters Discord, for instance, they've had the game for a while. And they've played it and stuff. And it's like, it's hard to... You're at an interesting point just getting the game a month ago. Because there's a lot of people that did get that. But where we're at, we're not really super associated with those people unless they're huge fans of the podcast and sending awesome emails like you did.
Yeah. I like finding out that there are people that just got the game and tune into the podcast. That's always cool to hear.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Like Savage said, tap into the communities as much as like you can afford to. If you just do it all the time, then you're going to find some like just you're going to waste a lot of time like playing with people that are just kind of like not what you're looking for. But always, like, you know, throw it out there, see what kind of, like, you know, throw the line out there, see what you hook, I guess, is a fishing metaphor. I don't fish a lot.
That's, really? I could have sworn.
Maybe it's because I'm just throwing the line out there and seeing what I hook.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's how you fish.
You know, communities that come to mind, there's the VVV community, the Ghost Boosters community, and Mocket community. Also... If there's any streamers, they have a lot of community discords that you can tap into all the time. I know Lo5 and A-Money have
Gibbs
some.
Gibbs has one. If you're, Gibbs is probably the saddest Discord that I've ever been on.
Because
you can send a message on there, and then about a month later, someone will respond to it. It's a sad Discord, honestly. I just get depressed every time I look at it.
I don't
want to leave it because I'm too deep in now, because I have sent about half the messages there.
Over Zero has a really good Discord, but also, we have a Discord that you can come and hang out with.
We do.
People of all kinds of skill ranges and stuff on ours that you can meet and play with people. Just throw in our like our public lobby, say, hey, looking to play. You can find our Discord on our website.
LFManfield.com. Check it out.
LFManfield.com.
Somebody did a pretty good job putting it together.
I understand your difficulty in finding regular friends to play with, even at like a higher level. Let me explain it real fast.
Okay. Oh, he left. So.
You don't need to fill the silence.
I'm filling the silence.
I had a competitive team and a group of guys that I played with all the time. All right. One of them left for another competitive team, which is okay. Chase your bliss. Do what you got to do. Then another one left to play Overwatch competitively. Ugh, let's
God.
Anyone listening to the podcast right now, we're just going to go ahead and scoff. Just a nice collective live from Manfield scoff at anyone who leaves Rocket League to go play Overwatch. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh.
Ah!
Oh gosh, that was not a scoff.
What? Is that not a... That's how I scoff.
these were some of my best friends to play with all the time. The first people that I would message as soon as I got on Steam. And now I find myself at a place where I don't have a lot of people to play with that I enjoy playing with. That I have, because I had close friendships with these guys that I met through Rocket League, but they're not ever on anymore. And it's difficult because I've been trying to, like, you know, I just find myself in the same kind of situation that, you do. Corvonatu. Oh, dang it. I messed up his name.
Corvonatu.
Corvoitano. It's Corvoitano.
Corvoitano?
Corvoitano.
That's a lot of letters.
A lot of syllables. Corvoitano.
That's a lot of vowels, too. Corvoitano.
But it's tough because I think that you're like seeing the same kind of thing that I see, where I really only enjoy playing ranked, all right? And so that limits the scope of people that I can play with, because there are the people that I really enjoy playing with, but the skill like deficit is there, and it makes it difficult to enjoy ranked play, all right? And then at the same time, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just tough.
See, I kind of ran into that, and I just kind of decided that I don't really care how good someone is. I'm just going to play ranked, and I don't really care where my rank goes. I know we have a lot, we have a very different view on competitive, and that's been like, that's been pretty apparent, because I really could care less if I was in prospect or if I was a champion.
And I want to get to that point. I'll be honest, Savage. This is an interesting talk that we're getting to, but I like it. I want to get to that point, but I think it the difference is in our end goals, right? Because it's going to sound strange to hear this from me. I honestly don't care about my rank, all right? The reason that I am so sought after achieving a high rank is because I see that as my entry into the competitive scene, the professional competitive scene.
Yeah, and I had a little taste. I got, like, I had a team that I played on, and we were, like, round of 8 in ESL twice, and just consistent round of 16s. Like, we were gelling pretty good, and we were making, starting to take some games off of some pretty big teams, and then, like, we kind of broke up, and I was just like, okay, that was kind of, like, my shot, and it's kind of, like, over, so.
Oh.
I didn't really see myself, because I'm, like, I'm a decent player, but I mess around way too much in game to be picked up by someone. I just have way too much fun playing this game to play it competitively. Because there are times in ranked matches where I will full on turn the ball around and just start scoring on my own goal. I don't know why, but I enjoy a little throw.
It's why you and I don't play together. I realize.
Yeah,
that.
It's definitely a big reason.
I honestly, like, you know, could care less about, like, my rank up and down. The reason that I'm trying to get a higher rank is because for me to be taken seriously as I approach higher level teams and say, hey, I would like to try it for your team, I want to have a rank that reflects me as a better player to make myself look more appealing as a teammate. That's really about it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's understandable. But like I said, I'm not at that point. But we can have our own Rocket League experiences.
Speaking of us and Rocket League, how was Rocket League for you this week? How'd things go? What'd you do?
Well, I am on vacation at the moment. So I am up in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Shout out to all of our Wisconsinians.
Wisconsinians?
Wisconsinians.
No,
I feel like it's
Wisconsinians. There was a lot of syllables in that one. Wisconsinians? Indianians?
Almost as many syllables as in Corvitronio. How could I not remember this name?
Corvoitano. Just think of it as like a first name and last name. Corvoitano.
Corvoitano. Is that his actual first and last name? That'd be a crazy name.
His name's Michael.
Oh, okay, Michael. I'm going to call him Michael from now on.
No, call him Corvoitano. You don't call me by my real name. Almost said it. Ooh.
Yeah, shut up, Juan.
Juan? Did you call me Juan?
Juan Phoenix, that's your real name, right? Nox is the only part you added for the gaming. Your real last name is Phoenix. Juan Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix is actually my first name.
Oh, so it's like Juan, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. Understandable. But like I said, I'm up in the Wisconian homeland at a lake house that does not have very good internet. And all I have is my new Apple laptop. So there's not a lot of Rocket League in my life. Actually, as we speak, because the internet is so bad at the house and so is the cell reception, I am sitting by a baseball field at the University of Whitewater, Wisconsin, in an empty parking lot with my Discord tethered to my phone talking to you. So this is fun.
Wow.
My car is extremely hot right now, so that's how my week is going. I am sweltering.
Well, as I discovered a couple weeks ago, taking a break can really improve your skill and approach to the game, so...
Yeah, but I'm already pretty awesome at this game. I don't think I can get much better, so...
Okay, that's true.
That's all I was at, yeah. But, yeah, I did dual boot my computer so I could play a season mode. I played through two seasons as of now as the Savages. It's a really creative name. And we've won the championship both seasons. I've just played like ones just because I can't really, I don't know, maybe I should try to play like threes with five other all-star bots on. It'd be interesting. Because it's just fun because when the ball goes up in the air, they don't know how to jump and boost at the same time.
I know. It's so,
they'll double jump sometimes, but all they do is just like drive around. They're like really accurate with their hits, so I like get scored on quite a bit because I just like try to mess around and then they punish me. But yeah, it's kind of fun taking a step back, but also not. But also whatever. I'm cool. It's good.
Cool, you'll come back soon. You'll come back soon.
Yeah, I'll be back on Thursday of this week. No,
for
Wednesday.
National.
Yeah, Thursday. I'll be back Wednesday National night so I can rest up for National Player Rocket League Day, sponsored by LF Manfield.
Sponsored by LF Manfield. Wait, if we are Rocket League, are we telling people to... Nah, never mind. I don't.
No, Rocket League owns us. So it's sponsored by LF Manfield, which means it's sponsored by Rocket League, which is kind of confusing.
Makes sense.
It makes sense.
I had a pretty normal week of Rocket League this week. Nothing too extravagant happened. I'm learning to program on the side, so I'm dividing my Rocket League time in half with also learning how to program time. But I did feel like playing in a tournament this weekend, so I sent out some messages to do the ESL and did the ESL with Q-Dub and P-Noise, and we had some solid synergy. It was really fun. Actually, I think we might be building a team together. Who knows?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was some fun stuff. And we played against a really good team round one, and we actually got them. We took games one and two. They had a season two grand champ tag on their team. I don't know if that means anything.
Oh, that means everything.
Yeah, it means everything.
Everybody with that tag is easily best player in the game. Easy Kronobi.
And then our round two in the ESL was the entire team had season two grand champ tags. And they kind of walked all over us. We made game one close. We got it down to like a one goal like win for them. Near the end, but like game two, I think there was a moment where one of their players disconnected and they still 2v3'd us and still got us. Like, it was pretty bad.
Dang. If that was RLCS, you could have disqualified them and won.
I know.
Too bad.
But I did score yesterday my first, we'll say first. I mean, depends on what you determine as a freestyle goal or not, but my first actual freestyle goal.
Lame. Freestyling is for noobs. But that's literally all I do in game anymore.
I might have to put it up on YouTube so it can go up on the website or something. Because it was a legit one where I saw like my teammate juked. P-Noise juked up like their only defensive player, but he was in their corner, so I knew he was going to be passing at center. And so I just started flipping and flying around, and then he passed it to the center, and I just knocked it straight into the goal. Like,
you just
full
knocked
deliberate.
It straight into the goal.
Oh!
Get it?
I don't know. Wait, actually, could you repeat that joke one more time?
I can explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
I wanna talk.
What?
I wanna talk.
Are you sure? Wait.
I wanna talk. Hey, everybody! Knox. It's Knox Talks, everyone's favorite segment of the show, live from Manfield, where Knox brings a topic to talks about. Oh, that's the new motto. Knox brings a topic to talks about.
It's funny.
Anyway, all right. 2 weeks ago, I was able to play Rocket League, even though I was out of town, all right? I was at a camp in the middle of the woods, but I was in cabins, all right? And I brought my desktop there, all right, because I needed it for work. But obviously, you know, a good benefit of that is that I had Rocket League with me. Very interesting, though, is I didn't have my main monitor that I'd been playing on for all, like, 1,500 hours that I've been playing. And I had just a normal 16:9 1080p monitor. I was set up on a plastic table, not a desk, and I had to sit in this really uncomfortable wooden kitchen chair, okay? But I still felt like I played better that week than I normally played any other week. Once, you know, I kind of got used to my setup a little bit. And it made me think that there's this possible theory about changing your environment for the game that might have positive mental benefits. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's definitely interesting. It's something I haven't ever really thought about. I know when I first started playing the game, all I had was a little plastic fold-out desk, and I had my computer up on that, and that was interesting. It was basically all I needed, but now I got, like, a new desk, and it's big and long, and it can, like, mount my monitors on it with a little monitor stand so they don't sit on the desk. Which, by the way, those monitor mounts on the desk make everything so much nicer on your desk because it takes up so much room to have your monitor sitting on your desk.
I might need to look into this.
And if it's just mounted on the back, it can be at the same height and you can still like have your keyboard where your like monitor was sitting or something. Like just overall space. I have my monitors, they're like higher up now because I can go like pretty high up with them. And oh my gosh, it's like I can fit. Because I have this huge Blue Yeti mic that I have to have on my desk, and I don't have any stupid arm mount for it because I can't find anything. But I have to have that sitting on my desk, but I can, like, fully push that underneath my monitor, and it just sits there, and it, like, works because this monitor mount takes everything off of my desk. And it's so nice, and I just love it so much.
Anyway.
I think when I had that change to my situation, that made me a lot better.
Oh. I see where you're going with this now.
Yeah, that's definitely... Gotcha. I wasn't just talking about the mount. I was completely talking about the podcast. I tie
gotcha.
Everything together.
And you feel like changing your environment made it a little better. Well, I thought back to that email that we got a couple weeks ago about, you know, the asker was talking about the distance that they had to the monitor and they think that it made a difference. And I talked about, like me, I'm really, like anal about, like, my setup. I have to have, like, sit in the exact same position... make sure that my feet are resting the exact same kind of like thing because I feel like that's how I play best. And then going out like in this forced experiment almost, you know, to play in a different location made me kind of like realize that there actually is maybe like scientific research behind this. They say that when you are like learning something like a new subject or learning how to do something that you should take it to different locations and do it because your mental context will help determine things. And if you learn the same thing in two different mental contexts, then it will solidify it more in your mind, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the same is for Rocket League. If you're playing and getting better and you take that to two different mental contexts, one, in the cabin in the woods, two, comfortable desk at home.
The cabin in the woods. That doesn't sound like a Rocket League thing.
So now when I'm playing at home, since I'm obviously not going to take my desktop random places, I actually will alter the way that I sit, change positions, sit up sometimes, lean back sometimes, just do everything that I can to kind of change the environment that I'm in. Lights on, lights off, I don't know.
Yeah, I rotate it. Sometimes I have my big foam hat on, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wear a certain pair of headphones, sometimes I don't. I like playing Rocket League. Like, if I just have some music going on my speakers and I have the game going, that's a really fun way to go about playing Rocket League and just sitting back and chillaxing. Yeah.
Chillaxing.
I said chillaxing.
Acting all cool. Playing some Rocket League, not going to school. When a couple of bots, they were up to no good, started making trouble with my car hood. I got in one little demo and... Cloud Fuel got scared. He said, "You're moving to Manfield with
Savage
players in the air." So, I don't know. I don't know how much further I can take that. But that's
Boo.
That's all we have for the Nox Talks. We want to introduce you to someone really, really cool.
Why, hello there, everybody. We are here with Eric from the Thumbstick Athletes. What's going on, Eric?
How you doing, guys?
Doing pretty well.
Doing swell. What exactly is Thumbstick Athletes? I know it's a podcast. What's it about?
Thumbstick Athletes, I started it. Well, I didn't start it. The host is Dan. He's my best friend. We've been friends since third grade. So I just kind of stuck with his family. I was an only child. So him and his two brothers, Will and Corey, have basically been my brothers. So we decided to start a podcast about video games about 4 years ago. So we've got 4 years worth of free content out there in the form of podcasts. We have a YouTube channel we don't do too awful much with. We're mostly just audio based. But we do live stream the podcast every week. So the videos are up there if you want to see our ugly mugs sitting around. But yeah, it's just a podcast. We usually pick like a game each week, one of the big releases. One of us will usually get it and just kind of go over it.
The interesting thing about how I even found out about you guys is that I was actually searching for more Rocket League podcasts to listen to early on. And I just went into the podcast app and searched up Rocket League. And one of your guys' episode, the episode we actually did covering Rocket League, popped up.
Okay, nice.
And I listened to it, and I was like, oh, these guys are pretty cool. And then it's been perfect, because I work outside, and I just listen to podcasts all day.
Oh, nice.
You guys have, like, 3-hour episodes, which are just perfect.
Ooh.
Yeah, we tend to go pretty long, usually 2.5-3 hours. But yeah, it's funny you say that, because that's how Dan and Corey and Will all kind of got into podcasts, because they worked outdoors on a golf course, and just worked out nicely, and we decided to start our own. So,
oh, nice. Okay, so we are on a Rocket League podcast. How did you first find out about Rocket League?
I don't remember how I first found out, but I saw something about a beta for it, so I kind of looked into the previous game that those guys had made. I can't remember what it's called. It's kind of a long, weird name.
It's Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars.
Okay, yeah. So I never played that one, but I'm a huge soccer fan, so anything that remotely involves soccer has piqued my interest immediately. So the game looked really cool, and then when the beta came out, I played it, and it has become probably my favorite game ever.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I know it's nothing's like super in-depth or anything, but it's the game I turn to always. It's the only game I always go back to.
Retweet.
So, being from your vast video game knowledge background, how does a game like Rocket League differ from all the other games that come out year after year?
The thing about Rocket League for me specifically, like right now at the point where I am in my life, is that I don't have a ton of time for games, so Rocket League is perfect for me because the games are only like 6 minutes long, as you know. And you can kind of get as in-depth with it as you want. So you can, you know, if you have the time and you have a group of friends where you can get a consistent team together, you can certainly put a lot of strategy into it, but you don't have to do that. And that's what I love about it. You can just jump in and play quick match by yourself. So I think that Rocket League is great for people of all ages, whereas games like The Witcher or, you know, Dragon Age or Grand Theft Auto are for people that have a lot of time on their hands, which for me, I just don't have at this point. So I think that's the difference with Rocket League. And I guess you could say something like Overwatch would be comparable, except a lot shittier than Rocket League, in my opinion.
Calling them out!
Shots fired.
That's Blizzard. Yeah. They'll just wipe their tears away with more money.
Yeah.
So when you first started in Rocket League, or even to this point, what do you feel like is the hardest part about the game? The hardest part to like just first start off and get into?
For me, it was definitely the aerial stuff, and I'm still not very good at it. Like, if a ball hangs up in the air for a while, there's a pretty good chance I'll put a good hit on it, but I can't follow it after that, and I just cannot get the hang of that. And aside from that, probably just the wall play. I've never been able to get the hang of it.
Yeah, gotcha. That's definitely wall play. I know for me, at least, we talked to Lo5, one of the pros in the game, and he was talking about when he was trying to learn it, he just put on scrubs and for an entire day just sat in free play and dribbled the ball up the walls. hung out with that.
Yeah, I have a friend who's pretty good at Rocket League, and he always tells me to go into free play and do that kind of stuff, but I just love getting into the games and competing, so I can't sit there and free play and do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to, I guess, what your overall goal is. What would you say your goal is when it comes to, like, playing Rocket League?
Rocket League is just my go-to game when I want to have fun, you know? The game is just so fun to me, and there really aren't many games that get me as excited or hyped, I guess, like when you score that overtime goal. Or for me, it's actually making the great saves that I enjoy the most about Rocket League. Nothing satisfies me more in video gaming, really, than like a save that I know damn well I shouldn't have made, but somehow pulled it off. That's just so satisfying.
Now, would you say that you're having equally as much fun, like win-lose in the game, or like...
I mean, for the most part, you're obviously going to have at least a little more fun when you're winning. Like last night I was playing with a buddy of mine, and we were kicking ass, and I scored we probably played 7 games, and I scored a hat trick in probably 5 of them, which for me is pretty good. I'm by no means great at Rocket League, but even when we were losing, you know, it's still, I always have a good time with it, no matter what.
I think that's a lesson that many competitive players, even myself, could learn. Because I love the game, I obviously do, but if I'm not winning, I hang up the controller pretty quickly.
To be honest with you, Rocket League is the only game that I, for whatever reason, am able to keep playing it, even if I'm losing. The other day, I was playing, and I got in a match, it was twos, with a random guy, and the other team, one of the guys, quit out. And myself and the other guy ended up losing in overtime to a solo player.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, because I know I'm not super good at the game, I don't take it super seriously when I lose. So I just kind of make fun of myself, and that's kind of how I approach it, I guess.
That's what I need to do. Even though I take the game seriously, I just need to make fun of myself.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a pro, it may be a different story, but I am very far from that, so.
Yeah, well, aren't we all just, like, pros in our own minds, though?
Yes. There was one point where I thought I was really good at Rocket League, and that was pretty short-lived.
I mean, when it comes down to it, though, like, we're all pros. We all draw the same audiences. There's the same amount of eggs in each stadium as there is for a pro player or someone in Prospect 1.
Very true.
I mean, I do play a lot of games on Wasteland, so it feels like they don't really care where I'm playing, so they just kind of throw me in that.
Toss you into the abyss.
I'm interested with the level of like discussions you guys had on the Thumbstick Athletes about Rocket League. Have you ever ran into someone who didn't like the game?
In my recollection, which by my own admission is terrible, I have the worst memory ever. The only thing that comes to mind is one of the guys on the podcast doesn't outwardly dislike Rocket League, but he's never really gotten into it. That would be Will. And I'm not really sure why, because he's probably the most competitive of the four of us. He just, for whatever reason, it never grabbed him. He's more into like Heroes of the Storm. He's actually a big Overwatch fan. So I don't know, but I don't think I've ever honestly ran into somebody that told me that they didn't like Rocket League or it wasn't a good game. I've never had that happen.
Because, I mean, there's those people that, like, curse out Rocket League or something. It's just, they don't illness. Like to lose.
Well, but they just as far as the podcast goes, I mean, honestly, we talk about Rocket League, I'd say almost every episode, at least somebody mentions it. Because Corey, aside from myself, is the biggest fan. He, even now, like, he's got a pretty good amount of games at his disposal. He said 15 hours into it last week, which for those that don't know Corey in our podcast, that's a lot of time for him to put into a game. And for him to choose Rocket League still at this point, I think says a lot, because Corey's interests kind of drift from game to game like mine do. So I think it says a lot that the two of us always go back to it and we talk about it almost weekly.
Yeah. I mean, that brings me back in every week.
A sticky game.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think makes it so sticky? I mean, there's the fast-paced games. You've talked about that. Mm-hmm. There's the adrenaline from scoring those last-minute goals. What do you think makes those things appealing over, like, other games that have repetitive, like, you know, satisfaction levels?
I think part of it is for me, mostly, it's the the ability to jump in and just play a few games and jump out. But I also always want to improve. And I think Rocket League is a game where you can really see the improvement that goes on with your game.
Hmm.
I've seen that over time. And it's as I get older, I also see that I'm kind of regressing at this point in Rocket League, or maybe other people are just getting better. But I think it's very easy to see like the improvements in your game if you put the time into it. And I like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So with, like you were talking about, Will isn't super into it. But just kind of, what kind of gamer, what kind of general gamer do you think would, who would you recommend this game to?
That's a good question. And as soon as you started asking this question, I had a good answer for you. We always do this thing called Ambassador Game. It's part of our yearly award show that we call the Thummies. And Ambassador Game is, what game do you think you would show to somebody to try to get them into games? And if I'm not mistaken, Rocket League was my pick last year for that, or whatever year it came out. I think it was 2013. Whatever year it came out, that's the game I picked. Because, you know, it's got something for everybody, I feel like. It's got the strategy part, if you want to do that. It's got the sports part. It's great to play with friends co-op. It's probably really fun to play while you're drinking. I don't drink all that much, but we did it at my bachelor party quite a bit.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, we've always talked about, Mario Kart, where we would do drunk driving. And I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Rocket League, except you're trying to score goals with a big soccer ball while you're drunk driving. Not actually drunk driving, obviously, but we'd never condone that. But yeah, like I said, Rocket League, I think it's got something for everybody if you can get them to sit down and play it.
Well said. Well articulated. We have some fun with our guests every time that we have them on the show through different challenges, games, and we have one that we'd like to play for you. But the thing about our games is we usually have our contestants. Our contestants are usually pro Rocket League players. So you're a little bit different in that regards. So understanding that, we usually have pros play for our like Patreon supporters to win prizes, Okay. But knowing that you're not a pro and you're not entitled to a bunch of stuff already anyway, then, we're going to give you and the Patreon supporter the prize.
Oh, nice.
If you're able to complete this game. All right.
Awesome.
What we have for you is we have a list of 7 Rocket League team names. All right.
Oof.
Professional Rocket League team names. And some of them are fake. I made them up in my brain space, and some of them are real, and you're going to have to determine whether it's a real professional Rocket League team or a fake Rocket League team without Google.
Yeah, no, I will not cheat. I am a man of honesty.
We have 7. You get 4, majority. Then you and Pate Satemate, our Patreon supporter, will be taking away 2 of the new DLC cars when they come out on the 18th. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, hit it.
All right, Savage, go with the first one.
All right, our first one, straight out of the Oceanic scene. The Dunkaroos.
I should say, I have watched a couple of Rocket League streams and tournaments, but I am by no means somebody that watches it a lot. But I'm going to say the Dunkaroos is a real team.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
It should be. If it's not, that's a great name.
Right, though? I'm thinking about starting a team named the Dunkaroos.
Especially since Hoops came out. I mean, it's perfect.
For real.
Yeah, I think that name belongs in the Oceanic scene, though.
Maybe I'll just have to move down to New Zealand. Dunkaroos is actually kind of an inside joke on our podcast, though, because Savage has never heard of Dunkaroos, the food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't.
Damn. You gotta expand, man. Get out there.
Dude, they're amazing.
What is a Dunkaroo? Is it? Oh, it's like a zebra, right?
No, it's a little cookie that you dip in the icing.
Are they kangaroo cookies? Is that what they're shaped like?
I think they had a kangaroo logo.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't remember. They're delicious.
I wouldn't say they were kangaroo cookies.
The second team, real or fake, We Dem Girls.
It's funny. I was playing FIFA last night against a team called We Dem Boys.
No.
I'll say real.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh.
They're a European professional team. Okay. And at the very top, almost. They're very, very good.
Oh, nice.
All right. So our third one. Zooming by, we have Mach Turbo.
That sounds like a real name.
That's what you said about Dunkaroos.
Yeah, I'm going to go real.
I'm sorry. But
what we've proven so far is I'm really good at making up names for teams. Sure.
It's just like such an obvious name that I feel like somebody would have had.
It's okay. Plenty of opportunities left to get the rest of these four. All right. This is another name. Genesis.
I haven't said not really yet, so I think I have to say that.
Do you, though?
Probably not, but I already did, so.
That was a slight mistake.
Yeah.
It's a real team with Pluto and Quinn Lobdell and Espeon.
Man, I'm really blowing it for your Patreon supporter. My apologies.
hey, that's
all right.
That's
okay. So we have three left.
You gotta get all three. All right.
Yeah, if we get two of them, maybe we'll throw it to you. All right. So our fifth name.
Last one was Genesis.
Now we have Exodus.
Not real,
man.
You need
Are you sure about that one?
No, you know what? Now that I think of it, I think that's a real one.
Yeah,
it is. Nice. Final answer.
It is real. Of course. Oh my god. Stop it. I had to introduce those two teams on there because it's hilarious that there's a Genesis and an Exodus Pro Rocket League team.
And it's funny because one of the players on Genesis left and then joined Exodus.
And that player's name is Moses.
That's fantastic.
So, hashtag the Bible takes over Rocket League esports.
Yeah, right?
Number six goes to 11 esports.
Not real.
Boom.
Hey.
You're just like, you just knew it.
Look out.
Here we go. Now we have one left, and its name is Savage, with an exclamation point on the end.
I don't think that's a real team, is it? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's a real team.
Hey! I did it!
Man, you know when to change your mind. Very intuitive. Really good. Good trivia player.
It's a good trait you have.
Man, say what you want. You can read a room like no one else can.
Without even seeing it.
Well, great job. honestly, I mean, we set you up for failure because I'm just too creative with coming up with Rocket League team names. Is really what
you
it
are.
Is.
You are the Rocket League team name master.
I'll also be taking hiring on Patreon. If you just pay me $5, I'll come up with a team name for your Rocket League team. So go ahead and just hit us up for that. Thank you so much, Eric, for spending some time on our show.
My pleasure.
I am going to check out Thumbstick Athletes real soon. I can tell you that right now.
I appreciate you doing that. And thanks for having me on.
And you can yell at Savage because he was like, hey, I have a cool guest that we should bring on the show. He's from this podcast called Thumbstick Athletes. And not once since I've known him has he ever told me to check out the Thumbstick Athletes podcast. So,
Savage, come on. We need our people.
I'm always too busy listening to it.
you can come up with a better excuse than that.
I'm in a car.
All right.
That's out of Starbucks. I couldn't tell him.
You guys say you stream your podcast. Where can our listeners find those at?
So we're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play. And then we usually record Thursday nights around 7:30. Sometimes it's Wednesdays at 7:30. We live stream on Twitch while we do so.
Twitch.tv/...
Thumbstick Athletes.
Easy, all one word?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Cool. We're also on, you know, Twitter, Facebook. We're at TS Athletes. And I don't even know how Facebook works anymore, to be honest with you, but it's /... Thumbstick Athletes.
I thought someone took that site down forever ago.
I wish someone would.
Come on,
cool,
Mike.
And then whatever your Snapchat handle is, too.
And if you have a Google Plus, that's where we do... that's where we release all of our news. Maybe that's why there's not too many people listening.
Stick it out for another 4 years. You'll at least get a few thousand.
There we go. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. You.
That is going to do it for us this week. It's been a ton of fun this week. It was a fun We had a good time.
Yeah, we did.
I had a good time.
I am sweating very much, so we should wrap this up.
Okay. I want to thank everyone tweeting about the show, being our rocket tweeters, the top rocket tweeters, of course, people that do this week in, week out at the top. Kaz Money.
Kaz
the Rocketeer. Jesper Olson. Cal from Kansas, flying high. Cal from Kansas.
Flying like a bird in the sky.
Special thank you. Special thank you to Mr. Turtle, Eli Crabtree, Jacob Pfeiffer.
I think it's pronounced Pfeiffer. Corvo. I don't think there's a P at the
Corvo
front.
Itano. Corvo Itano.
That's how you say Corvo Itano?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's how you spell it?
Yeah.
No.
Kirk. Declan Sparling. No. Just let me say the right tweeters. Jeez, stop it. Corvo Itano, Declan Sparling, and Daniel Payne, 1980. Thank you so much for tweeting about the show.
You can hop onto our website to submit some new topics to us. Look at all our episodes. Look at all the cool stuff we do. All the links. Link to the Discords will be up there today or tomorrow or whenever this comes up. Today, because this is future. Whoa. Also, you can send those into our email at livefrommanfield@gmail.com.
We want to let you guys know about National Go Play Rocket League Day coming up this Thursday, July 7th. All right, that's the birthday of Rocket League. And to celebrate, Savage and I are going to be turning on the Live from Manfield stream, and we're going to be hosting all kinds of viewer games, all kinds of competitions. We're going to be doing King of the Hill. We're going to give away some of the new cars. We're going to give away a copy of Rocket League. So come hang out with us on National Go Play Rocket League Day. I know that, you know, we try to get you guys out to our like live events and stuff often. This isn't just a live event. This is the biggest Rocket League party that's ever been thrown.
Oh, yeah.
By us.
It's the biggest one in the world. If you're in EU, where you're going to be starting it, probably a little late for you guys to be coming to hang out.
But for
giveaway entrances, just stop by the stream and get entered in, and we'll let you know. Make sure you bring your friends to hang out, because we want to meet them. And the more people that you bring, that means it's the more people for KCRVOXTANO to play with.
Corvo Itano.
That's not Corvo Itano. I refuse.
It's what he said in the email.
Is it really?
It's what he said in the email,
what
yeah.
What on earth? Michael.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, we both stream Rocket League daily, not on the live from Manfield.
He says it's a weird spelling, but it's the name of the protagonist in Dishonored. And now you've dishonored him.
Yeah, because he dishonored my femory. Corvo, that's...
If you want to watch Savage and I stream ever, I'm at Nox Phoenix on Twitch, and Savage is at SavageRL. You can stop by. We stream all the time.
Yeah, like daily or something. Check us out on patreon.com/LFManfield. Any support that you guys can give us helps out a great deal. Everything we do, you guys help us to get done. We start it as low as 50 cents per episode, and just consider supporting us. Nothing is required for this. We're going to do it for free, but helping us move along is nice. We want to thank our champion patrons, Umerix, Matthew, and Pfeiffer J.
Pfeiffer.
It's debatable.
Not really debatable, okay. But okay.
I also want to thank all of the people who have reached out to me saying that they are willing to give up their turtle tracking topper, because that means so much to me.
Has there really been people that
I have had three tracking? People reach out to me separately saying
awesome.
That they are willing to give me their hat. Or I don't know if one of them just showed me a picture. The other two are willing to make a trade. I'm willing to make a trade.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone comes across purple wheels, let me know. I want those purple wheels. So.
I want your turtle tracking toppers.
And I want your purple wheels. I want to thank Lo-Fi for sending in our sign-off phrase for this week. But other than that, that's going to do it for us this week. I am Nox Phoenix.
I'm Savage.
Bump cars, not uglies.